So there's this story. It's a true story, and it's also become kind of a legend, part of local lore, especially within Seattle's punk rock scene, and also the Washington State Ferries scene. It's about the time when a bunch of punk kids started a riot on the Kitsap Ferry. This was 1987, and there'd been a big punk show in Bremerton. It was the last sailing of the night. A bunch of kids who'd been at the show were on the boat, all pumped up. There were also a few off-duty cops and one very drunk woman. Things got out of hand. David Portnow was 15 at the time. He wasn't on the boat, but he heard all about it from friends.
Yeah, it was like total chaos and an all-out war and sounded awesome.
Even 30 years later, people are still telling this story. Sound Effects' Posey Gruner talked to a few of them. Here's the tale, told as they remember it.
You know, there was this punk rock show going over in Bremerton.
I believe there were some other bands, but the main two were The Accused, which was the biggest local band, and people loved to see them. And then a band from England, GBH.
Grievous Bodily Harm. I did have to look that one up.
Huge, huge punk band.
This was a big deal. And so there was just like an unusually large group of kids who were just excited beside themselves to go to this show.
And it was a fantastic show, I'll tell you that.
Had a great time, it was a great show. Everyone was doing their thing and then decided to take the ferry back and got down to the ferry terminal and everyone was still kind of partying and having a good time.
What, it was like 12:50 or something? It was the last ferry of the night.
There's a typical wait. Bunch of people got out and started drinking and smoking and, you know, playing music and having a good time.
There's these kids. I think everybody knew them because they were just kind of funny pranksters. And there was also this woman who a lot of people just knew her as sort of a fixture of the Bremerton Ferry.
She was inebriated and she was egging on and making fun of the punks, making fun of their hair, making fun of their clothes, and kind of drawing him into fight, not a physical fight, a kind of like a verbal and, look, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a badass, I'm much better than you kids. You kids think you're tough, you don't know what, you know, you're not tough, I'm tough.
The ferry shows up and everybody kind of gets on the ferry, then there wasn't very many just normal passengers. It was just a bunch of rowdy punk rockers.
I think there was like 30, 35, you know, somewhere in that range.
As soon as everybody converges on the passenger deck, this conversation continues.
She kept doing something. They kept doing something. These things were small.
And it's definitely escalated to the point to where this woman is starting to undress. I think she's dancing on a table.
We were all kind of in the general area and listening to what was going on and interjecting a little bit. And,
you know, going, woohoo, you know.
Then she escalated it by flashing them. And it wasn't just a breast flash.
It was all kind of simmering. It was all kind of building, and you could kind of feel it coming to a point.
And for some reason, this kid
goes over and he pisses in a fake plant.
You know, just kind of laughing and like a little 4-year-old, first time he's, you know, letting his willy out in the woods and camping and peeing, you know.
There were Bremerton police, off-duty police on board.
You know, I personally think they had to do something.
They kind of grabbed this kid.
Pull up your pants, boy. Cuffing him. And then his buddy wanted his buddy released and, you know, let my buddy go. They cuffed both of them and then they ran out of handcuffs and then all of us started saying, well, don't just let go of the one guy, now let go of both the guys. And whole energy built up and more people got involved and
they began to chase the police officer who ran into crew's quarters.
This is where a discrepancy comes up.
Now there's two different tales. One, he was locked in an office.
shut the door, asked the crew to lock the door.
And one, he was locked in a broom closet.
Just a random closet.
Essentially the janitor's broom closet.
This is pre-9/11, so the security is a lot less. It's just you and a lock in between this crowd.
And then there was he had kind of bleach blonde long hair. He ended up bending down, yelling into the vent of the door. Let him go, let him go, let him go, you know. And so they maced him in the face, and then he backed up, and his face was on fire.
So this guy's staggering around, and this guy's just through the roof, angry.
He punched the fire extinguisher, hose, and axe.
They grabbed the fire axe.
Got that free, got the axe, and started axing on the door.
That's when things got really scary, and I don't think a lot of people know about the fact that when that axe started coming through the door, they made the kids get down on the ground, face down, and they pulled out their guns and had them pointed at the door just in case the door flew open.
They were being the way that we already knew they were going to be towards us, so we felt threatened, and a lot of us at the time, too, were kind of outcasts in our own way, in our own schools, in our own family, in and out of our homes because of the fact that we were piercing our ears and dyeing our hair and wearing messed up clothes and listening to scary music. So we were all struggling with a lot of different things, and then to have these authority figures we already were battling with battle us even more and go hands-on, and I think we just grew tired of all of it and wanted to defend ourselves.
Back out in the main cabin, there's all sorts of shenanigans going on.
Statute of limitations up. we were essentially throwing down vending machines to make some ruckus, to maybe draw them out and, you know, let them go, let them go. We were chanting and other things, F the police, and found different things that we could knock over, pull down, and jump around like riotous maniacs.
They did about $40,000 worth of damage.
The Seattle Police Department was in full force just waiting, and you could see the lights from very far away, so they knew what was going to happen.
And I think some people that were kind of on the fringe of it that wanted to watch but didn't want to get their hands dirty were like, we're about ready to bump Doc, you guys, so wrap it up, wrap it up. So I think we all just started dispersing like cockroaches, and the lights came on, and we were like, all right, let's get back in the personal rig and look away when they went around with flashlights and down on the car deck, and picked out a couple of us to come back upstairs and take that long boat ride back.
Like, it was kind of a weird victory for the kids in a way. Like, when the story went around that weekend, you know, it was hooray for us, you know. And it was amazing. I mean, I think that one single event, you know, created 1,000 punk rockers. And I know that's true because it, you know, it happened to me.
That story by Sound Effects' Posey Gruner. The voices you heard in that story were Ian Sterling, spokesperson for the Washington State Ferries, David Portnow, who runs Pig Records, Chris Looney, who made an animated film about the riot, and J.J. Goranzik, who participated in the riot. J.G. grew up to have a punk metal band of his own, Disciples of Dissent. As for that other kid, the one who peed on the plant, well, he grew up and got a job working for Washington State Ferries.